Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
What you may not have heard about a Florida pastor who was arrested for holding a church service. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, you may have heard the story about a Florida pastor who is the pastor of The River at Tampa Bay Church, who was arrested for holding a church service. You may have heard that he was reckless. You may have heard that he put people's lives in danger. That's what some of the media narrative actually carried around the country. In fact, unbelievably, that is what the sheriff who arrested this pastor stated in a press conference during his actual arrest. But what most people don't know is 3 days before that press conference on a Monday after the Sunday of the church service, that same sheriff met with the actual pastor and other staff leaders through a speaker telephone conference and actually sent deputies to the church to see what the church was proposing to do in terms of asking whether it could meet on Sunday. And consequently, Holly, that sheriff, listening to what they were going to do, gave them a green light, to meet on Thursday, then changed his mind and arrested the pastor in this public display on Monday during this midday press conference.
You know, and interesting, the pastor and the sheriff had a friendly relationship, and the pastor was a chaplain for the sheriff's department, as well as that church recognized and honored the sheriff previous to this for his service.
He was actually an honorary sheriff's deputy, and actually got deputized 2 weeks before all this happened.
Yeah.
He actually had the same sheriff at the church in January earlier this year to give a plaque acknowledging the law enforcement of the county and gave it to the sheriff as the representative of the Hillsborough County Law Enforcement Department, the sheriff's office. Amazingly, here's what happened. The county commission held a meeting, and late in the week before the Sunday service, they passed this order. It was the first order that they had passed that was mandatory. And that order was going into effect on Friday night at 10 o'clock p.m. But on Thursday of that same week, the church spoke to the sheriff and to the sheriff's deputies about whether they could meet under the order. And during the meeting, the church said, these are the kinds of things that we were proposing to do to protect the health and safety of all people who may come.
Yeah, let's talk about those precautions they took.
Yeah, and they said, lots of our people, because of the inner city ministry, do not have online.
Right.
And the church feeds 900 families a week, giving them free food.
900 families a week.
Per
Let's
week.
Talk about that.
Giving
yeah.
them free food in the lobby where they have their farmer's market set up, where they do their own hydroponic growing.
Right. They teach them how to garden,
and
don't they?
They yeah. actually raise their own tilapia.
Right.
And they give that out to the
That's
community,
cool.
900 families a week. And then they teach the people in the community how to grow their own food as well.
That's amazing.
So this church has a lot of essential ministries besides the Sunday morning preaching.
But they took exceptional precautions
and this is
for
what
this
they,
service.
What
right.
they proposed to the sheriff, and he gave them the green light. They said, we have just purchased and installed over $100,000 of a high-grade hospital air purification system that provides continuous infectious microbial reduction. It's a technical term that is rated to kill microbes, including, according to its manufacturer, those within the coronavirus family. And as you know, there's lots of different iterations of
right.
coronavirus.
So that's safer than probably a lot of the stores and even hospitals that you're in with this kind of purification system.
They even took a deputy there and showed them the situation, how it was set up.
Right.
They said that they have movable chairs, so they will actually remove the chairs, store them, and reduce the size of the facility so that it has a mandatory 6-foot separation.
Right. Every family unit was separated by 6 feet.
Yeah, so if you're husband and wife, you could be within 6 feet, but if you're not related, you come separately, you have that 6-foot distance. And so they had all the chairs set up like that throughout the sanctuary and the overflow place. They then told their members via online to stay home if you're at a certain age or certain health predispositions or if you're uncomfortable coming. But for others, we'll open up the facility requiring the 6-foot separation. They also went in on Saturday after they got the green light from the sheriff on Thursday, and they thoroughly cleansed and disinfected the entire facility.
Right. All the staff wore gloves, and they gave every person hand sanitizer.
And so in their lobby where they have their farmer's market, they taped out on the ground the different 6-foot separation lines that you may see in some stores that you go to, say, for example, drugstores, where they have that similar taped out demarcation.
So they certainly weren't reckless at all in this.
No, and so they held the service, no problem. They did everything possibly to protect the health and safety of their people. Understand, no church wants to put the health and safety of their people at risk.
And
no
this
church
wasn't his incentive either.
Would want to do that. And yet you get the idea that these people were close together. Some of the videos or photos were from previous Sunday services where people are close together. This was a much reduced service. So this service went on. And then midday on Monday, the pastor got word that a warrant had been issued for his arrest, and the sheriff was in the process of doing a press conference that was shaming him, saying that he was reckless, that he had disobeyed the order, and that he put his people at risk, and wanting to make an example out of him.
He did that before he was arrested.
It was unbelievable for a second-degree misdemeanor.
And even the pastor contacted him, said, yeah, I understand I have this. Do I need to meet with you?
Sent him a text message.
What do I need to do?
Yeah, I can be down to the sheriff's office by, I can't be there by 1 o'clock. He was thinking it was 1 o'clock. It was actually the press conference that the sheriff had called at 1 o'clock. But I can be there shortly thereafter, and no word, because the sheriff was busy doing his press conference, media circus. And that's the narrative that went out around the country. Now, as a result of this particular pastor being arrested, it caught the attention of many people around the United States, including the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis then, on April the 1st, issued a new executive order in which he classified attending church services, synagogue, or houses of worship as essential activity. Mm-hmm. And then he required that to be uniform across the state. So as a result of that, churches in Florida got deemed to be essential services, which you have to think of this. It's another issue we can discuss, Holly.
Right.
Do we really give to a single person the right to be able to define into or out of existence a church by using the word essential? That's another whole discussion.
Right. And we had a couple other states follow suit as well, didn't we?
Yeah. Texas did, as well as Indiana. And that has happened in other parts around the country. Listen, we can't put a blanket over 500,000 churches. That's about how many there are, Protestant and Catholic, for example, in the United States. We can't put a blanket across the board and say they all have to close because to open, they're putting their people at risk. Look, no church wants to put their people at risk. Why not give some more discretion to the shepherds of the flock to be able to assess their situation? Some churches can flip a switch and go online. Fine. Other churches have inner city ministries. They provide food to individuals who are hurting and need it. They provide counseling to individuals. They provide things that you cannot do online.
Right, they do sidewalk counseling. They have food pantries. There's a lot of services which we as a church are called to do.
Yeah, and this church had that food farmers market, giving out free food. So when the churches close or this church closes, the people go hungry and the children go hungry. Mm. So let's give a little bit of discretion. Yes, with guidelines, protect the people. We all want to protect our community. No church wants to put their people or the community at risk. None would want to do that. I don't know of any single pastor who wants to put anyone in the community or their congregation at risk. But let's not put a blanket across 500,000 churches, and just because your church can operate that way, everyone else ought to operate that way as well. We have constitutional rights to deal with the First Amendment doesn't simply go away. But there's also the essential ministry of the church. Let's make an assessment, case by case, to determine, can that church flip a switch and go online? Yeah, many can. Perhaps many should. But on the other hand, there are some churches that cannot do online the essential ministry that they do every single day, helping hurting people, needing people, hungry people, clothing them, doing so much else. Let's let some of the shepherds have a little bit more credit. Let's step back and let's not come to this knee-jerk reaction that all churches should close. Churches, my friend, are indeed essential, even, especially at times of crises. Visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.